The Money Show.
Small business.
Small business focus brought to you by the Volkswagen Commercial Vehicles, built to build your business. Visit vwcommercial.co.za today. Buckets of calls coming through this evening. Everybody's got an entrepreneurial idea. That's cool. That's really good. Pablo, very briefly, you set up a score sheet and you want to actually measure people's contributions on an entrepreneurial basis. In 1 minute, lay out the rules of engagement.
Okay, so the rules of engagement: entrepreneurship isn't about business attitude, isn't about business ownership, it's an attitude. And in that attitude, what an entrepreneur does is they find a solution to a problem and then convert that solution into action to get the problem solved. And when they do that, Bruce, they normally work against a framework. So an entrepreneur would turn around and say, we're going to work with what we've got, not what we need. Not what we need never converts into action. So work with what we've got. They will consider all the stakeholders. If you leave out a stakeholder, the solution will crumble. They use a left-handed and right-handed salute. The left-handed salute is for the stakeholders. What's in it for me? So for each stakeholder, what have they got to gain? And the right-handed salute is, what do they need to do? For each stakeholder, what do they need to do to make this happen? Then finally, or second to last, they think about the sustainability of this. And then it in itself needs to be something fresh, something new, okay, something innovative. So that forms the framework against which an entrepreneur is going to act.
Sure. Okay. It's a big ask. Okay, Pablo, it's a big ask. You've got the score sheets. You've got your pencil. You've got your eraser. You've got your ruler. and you've got your headphones on. 021-446-0567. 011-883-0702. Ian in the Cape Town CBD. You're going up first against the wall of doom, the judgment wall, if you like, in terms of the solution you're thinking of from an entrepreneurial perspective to help end this fees must fall crisis. Ian.
Hi there, Bruce.
Yes, sir.
All right. So with the Companies Act that changed with regards to their BE spend on skills development, most of the companies are now companies are required to spend 6% on their annual salary run on external skills development. And actual fact, if you go and have a look at some of the salary runs that of a lot of your large corporations, a lot of those corporations have to spend millions of rands on skills development, and that can be for external learners. And there's a great opportunity to get business involved in order to fund learners that needs the money.
So use money that's going into the skills development fund, the skills development levy. Use that more efficiently than the CETAs use it right now, Ian?
Yes. So you bypass the CETAs and you're creating a portal to link up directly the CETA, the training providers with the actual funders, which is your big corporations, then to the learners.
Okay, I think that ticks a lot of the boxes, Ian, in the Cape Town CBD. Thank you very much. I've heard Matthew Lester, the tax professor at Rhodes, Ian, to your credit, suggest something fairly similar. Spencer in Four Ways, have a stab at this.
Hi, how you going?
We're good, Spencer. Have a stab at fees must fall from an entrepreneurial perspective.
All right. So my suggestion is you need to change all payments and structure. So how I would do it is I potentially take a deposit from the parents for the first term and create a goal-driven learning. So what you do is you take the deposit which covers the first term, should they fail, and you give them goals. And you say, if you guys pass this term, we'll cover those term fees. And should they pass, you obviously cover the term. And that obviously pushes them to succeed in the next term. That way, you don't have a lot of students being paid for that find this is almost a free learning holiday. They don't take it seriously. They fall by the wayside and end up failing. So ultimately, by keeping them driven to short-term goals, they will ultimately succeed in the long-term goals. And the ones that do succeed will be the most valuable.
Okay, thank you very much for that one, Spencer. Again, similar to an idea I've heard put forward in terms of saying making, say, there's got to be a barrier to entry in terms of academic ability and academic prowess and aptitude. But you make first year free for everybody. And then there's a benefit that kicks in. If you pass and you get a certain level of marks in a certain course or certain degree, then funding levels change. If you're going to be studying poetry, which is lovely, and history, which is awesome, don't laugh, I said history. It's been useful. Don't Pavlo Fatidis, don't look at me with that look. yeah, but you shouldn't have the same degree of funding unless you're going into teaching, if you're doing history, for example, as you should if you're doing mechanical engineering or nuclear science. We're going to need nuclear scientists, for goodness sake. So, Spencer, thank you very much for that. Francois Virilli, haven't spoken to you for absolutely ages, associate professor at UCT. You should be selling this to the students at UCT. CT, Francois, but give it to us in the meantime anyway. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, Bruce and Pablo. Look, there are two issues that one wants to deal with. First, you want to avoid students from starting their life with a high level of debt. And the second problem we have is that the bursaries we normally receive are from large companies. So what I'd like to suggest is something called Invest in My Career. So instead of what entrepreneurs normally do, invest in my startup, invest in my company, no, invest in my career. So it would work as follows. You could have a platform, and a student would put up what they think their prospects are, and start looking for investors. Now, what is positive here is that an investor would start acting as a mentor because it's in their interest that the student does well in life. And so it could work on the basis of an investor saying, I'll pay for your education. But the moment you hit a certain salary, pay me 5% of your salary. In other words, a return on my investment. But I'm going to work with you hard to make sure that you get to that particular level. And then what could also be interesting is that an investor that would enter it for first-year students would be taking considerable risk because you actually don't know whether the student's going to make it. But an investor entering at second, third year would have a lower risk. In other words, the students could actually find a number of investors who would be willing to go into their future prospects. And I'm not saying it's the answer for everyone, but it would make an opportunity for a wide range of people to say, I'm willing to invest in the career of someone.
It's a mentorship funding model. I mean, that's what you're proposing there, Francois.
Yeah, it gets fairly, it gets close to that. But it goes beyond because now you have somebody who's paid for an education who, of course, there's the satisfaction of having graduates, of doing the right thing. But there's also one of saying, and of course, that particular student could end up working in your company and you could get the benefits, not as a potential salary, but by having a good employee. But it would open all sorts of opportunities. Look, graduates in general end up earning well. And by the way, that's maybe one thing which the state should consider, is that most graduates pay enough tax in their career to pay for their education generally. So an investment in the state in students is not a bad thing. But one could bring it down to individuals saying, I'm investing.
Lovely. Francois Virilli, thank you very much. Okay, so Pablo, looking at your enormous score sheet, and you've got Ian's suggestion, you've got Spencer's suggestion, you've got Francois' suggestion. Briefly take us through it and how you've scored them.
Okay, so from Ian's point of view, I think the working with what we've got, he got full marks for that because we do have a skills development levy. It is 6%. It's incredibly hard to spend within the business itself, and it is sitting there. Combine that with the skills development levy, which in South Africa, Bruce, is about 20 billion rand a year. Those two numbers combined are going to exceed 120, 130 billion rand. So I think that Ian came up with working with what we got quite well. Spencer, I really liked Spencer's stakeholder accountability. It's merit-based, it's merit-earned, it keeps you focused, you get what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And I think accountability in South Africa is something that is
good.
Well, yeah, we need it. And then what I enjoyed about Francois' suggestion is that it's quite innovative, it's quite unusual. Hard to implement, though, but that is the nature of certain innovations. They take a bit of time to mature and develop. So at the moment, I've got Ian sitting at 7, I've got Spencer sitting at 7, and Mr. Verulli, and I did study this, so please forgive me. I've got you sitting at 6.
Okay, you're not a malicious kind of guy. Claire and Krugersdorp, Jeff and Bramley, and others, we will get to your calls as soon as we possibly can.
The Money Show.
Small business.
We're looking for entrepreneurial ideas to help end the fees must fall crisis. And here comes Paul with a controversial one on my email account saying companies should not undertake BEE, but should simply pay for university or for some form of education fees. Perhaps, I mean, as part of the triple BEE codes, Paul, we could include education and give it a big weighting. Paul's view on BE is it's destructive and open to abuse. But if you added a strong BE component into funding education and there was a way of measuring it, Paul, I think you may be onto something. Let's talk to Claire in Krugersdorp. You're a financial planner, Claire, hopefully with an entrepreneurial bent. What's your thought?
Good evening, Bruce. I've actually applied a lot of time and thought to and spoken to everyone in my practice about. And what we would like to do is actually set up a fund that prospective students or students can apply to. And what we will agree to do is pay for a whole degree, a whole level of going through a three-year degree, possibly honours and a master's, with this condition that when you are in the workforce, that it is your responsibility to put your money back into this fund to pay for another student, another learner, to get the same that you did. So it's a pay it forward concept.
It is in an entrepreneurial context. I mean, and if more companies did that sort of thing, Claire, the multiplier effect, I think, would be significant. Thank you, Claire. It's nice. And I like the payback mechanism there. There have been suggestions that students who were funded by the state might have to do some kind of year of, a bit like doctors, medical students do, and give a year of their lives, well, at fairly decent pay in state service. It's a similar concept through the private sector, Claire. I like it. Thank you. Jeff in Bramley.
Hi there, I'm Bruce.
Your suggestion,
my suggestion would be, okay, my starting point is that the students are stakeholders without a stake. Mm-hmm. And much of the research and much of the offerings of university are not converted. They are not monetized. And I believe that the research frequently just simply collects dust. Every faculty, every unit has the capacity to be turned into an entrepreneurial hub which offers research, consulting, teaching, management, education, conferencing, and employment opportunities, and so on and so forth. And I believe that it would be very useful for entrepreneurial hubs to be established across faculties and for these to a shareholding arrangement to be made with the likes of Alan Gray, and that when the students enter their first year, they are given they're given shares with zero value, and once these hubs start working, they start accruing value, and so that you can go along and turn these hubs into being self-sustaining entities. I believe that the problem with the hashtag fees must fall is part of an international problem with universities and the bureaucratic structures, which are just not tenable.
Jeff, I hear you, and I thank you so much for phoning. You're a lecturer in negotiation and deal making at Wits Business School, and thank you for that. I mean, it's quite complicated, Pavlo, but
and
we don't want oversimplified solutions. I'm interested, Jeff, in hearing Pavlo's thoughts there. I just want to catch up quickly with Henry Mayer, and then we're going to wrap up, Pavlo, with your final scores tonight. Henry Mayer is chief executive at InnoCentrix. You've created a platform which you developed last year. Has it been implemented anywhere, Henra?
Hello, Bruce. Yes, we did that. When the fees must fall activity started, towards the end of last year. We thought, you know, it's a very valid challenge and a good question, and we would like to play a role in making a change and providing a platform where people can submit their ideas, participate in an open innovation challenge, so that we get ideas and do something, so that we can provide a place where people can comment, where they can share those ideas, and that we can then provide the process so that we can get those ideas towards implementation.
Okay, Andrew, thank you very much indeed. We are out of time, unfortunately. Pavlo Fatidis, wrap up very briefly, if you can, the final competitors.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a little bit of everyone and mix it up into a big cake. Fantastic. Stakeholders are students, business, government, and society. We need to work with what we've got. I really liked what Ian said. 6% of payroll goes into skills development and transformation. That money is hard spent in business. It should be spent to students. It's new and innovative, the suggestion that I'm going to put forward, which is a combination of everyone. Francois identified that. What's in it for me? Students get into university, they get their fees paid, but they get on a merit basis and they have to continue to pass. The biggest beneficiary of graduates in society is business, mm-hmm. followed then by civil society. Government will be relieved of having to worry about a budget in this instance because we'll be drawing off that skills development element. Now, the requirements are students have to pass and continue to pass, but the moment they're employed, Bruce, they will then start paying back through their SARS registration the fees that were paid for them.
Yeah.
Business will calculate properly and pay over the fees. Mm-hmm. Government will enable this through SARS, and society will support it through a principle of fair exchange. In other words, the role of parents is to start permeating this idea into their students' mind.
All in all, some really good ideas.
Really great ideas.
I need to go back and listen to the podcast because they came through thick and fast. Pavlo, sorry to have rushed you. Thank you so much for all of your calls this evening. I think it's been incredibly valuable. Pavlo Fatidis from Auric Business.